With the environment in focus, I'm Tom Pelton. When people walk through the woods, they often assume that what they're seeing is natural or wild. But often the plants and landscapes they see have been secretly shaped by humans and societies that disappeared hundreds or thousands of years ago. Such is the case with dense clusters of wildflowers and grasses that people often walk right past while hiking in state forests and parks in Maryland and elsewhere. As it turns out, some of these explosions of color and plant diversity are not natural. These garden-like clusters in the middle of densely wooded areas often mark the trash heaps of Native American communities that date from long before the arrival of Europeans. These ancient landfills are fertile ground for researchers like Susan Cook Patton of the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center. She led me to visit one of her study sites south of Annapolis.
We're standing right on the edge of the Rogue River, and if you look down, you can see that some of the soil is filled with oyster shells. And on top of that soil, there's a very different plant community than areas right next to it where there aren't any oyster shells.
She and her colleagues studied 10 of these Native American dump sites near the Chesapeake Bay and learned that the Algonquian people, perhaps Piscataways, who lived here between 200 and 3,000 years ago, had a lot of oysters in their diet. And the places where they enjoyed their seafood feasts later became unusually dense with wildflowers, like salt marshmallow, jack in the pulpit, and late-flowering thoroughwort, as well as grasses. Meanwhile, the adjacent areas around these dumps were dominated by oaks, maples, and other trees.
And what we found was that these oyster shells are filled with things like calcium and nitrogen, and that helps to elevate the nutrients in the soil, which gives these herbaceous species an edge so that they can grow faster and become established even in a forested area.
The oyster shells from some of these sites are taken to the National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C. Here, Smithsonian archaeologist Torben Rick studies them for clues not only about what Native American societies were like, but also what the Chesapeake Bay was like thousands of years ago, and how Native Americans may have been shaping the bay and its landscape long before Captain John Smith first saw it in 1607.
One of the things that's pretty clear is that people were influencing everything around them, whether it was through harvesting, you know, thousands of oysters and affecting a local reef, to burning parts of the landscape and clearing it. All of those things leave, you know, fingerprints across the landscape that can be difficult to see now, but have that legacy that continues on.
Elsewhere around the world, the gardening of the ancient Mayans remains evident in the patterns of growth in the forests of modern Belize. In northern France, the intensity of Roman farming still influences the diversity of life in French forests that have not been farmed in nearly 2,000 years. What will be our landscape legacy? What will grow from American malls and landfills thousands of years in the future? It may not be a bed of wildflowers. With the environment in focus, I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project.